Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
All over the place this morning on the show. Gator Dave will be with us, but as opposed to my tweet, it's going to be in about 30 minutes. A little less, actually, than 30 minutes. Gator Dave at the bottom of the hour. We'll go down to Jacksonville. We'll connect with him. We also have in hour number two, Charles Arbuckle. And I got a text last night from Griff, which said, I'm on vacation this week, so I am off. Can't do it. That was last night. So, like I said, we are scattered. We are out of sorts. We are all over the place this morning. Won't affect the show. No. I'm just saying we've got moving parts. We've got particles going left and right, up and down, every direction, but we'll handle it. We're trained to be able to handle this kind of stuff. No worries at all on the Tuesday edition. 615-844-5600. That is the number from here on out you need to use to get to the show. 615-844-5600. There's your number. On Twitter, at Bill is King. And if you want to email the show, that is A-OK. Do that, too. Email is BillIsKing7@gmail.com. Those are the various ways you can connect with the show. If they invent something new, well, we ask people to sign up for Parlay. We're not using it much at all, really. But just in case, if you get a chance, sign up for Parlay. It's spelled Parlor. P-A-R, what is it, L-E-R? I don't even know how you spell it. Anyways, get signed up for however you spell it, and maybe someday we'll use it. Right now, we're not using it much at all. Not at all. What's on your mind? All the media days are done. I think Jason was saying yesterday, Hawkeye Jason, that the Pac-12 starts tomorrow out in Hollywood. Yeah, they're doing it at Hollywood. That's a pretty cool thing. I give them credit. The Pac-12 gets bashed here quite a bit, rightfully so. They're out of sight, out of mind. They have a lunatic as their commissioner. But having it at Hollywood's pretty cool, I think. If I was out there, if I was hanging out in that area, I'd go by, check it out. Let some of the coaches try and sell me something. I'd probably do that. Pac-12 starts on the 24th. Isn't that... knowing the calendar, I don't pay a lot of attention to the calendar. Yeah, I believe that's tomorrow. Wednesday the 24th is when the Pac-12 has their media day. I would assume that Washington is the overall pick out there. They've got the coach, Chris Peterson. He is one of the better coaches in college football. If you're laying out coaches right now, and Urban Meyer has again retired for maybe the time being, we'll see. Maybe it's forever. We'll see. And you go Saban 1, probably with Dabo Sweeney, the way he's been going, move him up a little bit, probably right there behind Saban, even though he just beat him, but right there. Saban's got the longer, much better resume, but Dabo is adding to it. Frequently, he's adding to it, and it's current. Yeah, Clemson is updated. They're current. They're not, hey, remember back in history? For example, Tennessee and Michigan have to go, hey, remember 97 and 98? Remember those days? We're plus 20 years on those. Clemson doesn't have to do that. Clemson's current. Clemson's updated. Clemson's file is recent. So is Alabama's, for that matter. Yeah, you'd go probably, what, Saban, Dabo, Sweeney, and then who would you go with in the three slot? Of all the coaches out there right now, who would you go with next? Because you can't go with Ryan Day. He hasn't coached as the permanent head coach. He hasn't coached yet. Can't throw him in there. Buckeyes are chalky, but you can't throw him in there. I wouldn't put Kirby Smart in there yet. No. Wouldn't throw him in that area. I'd probably have Chris Peterson somewhere in there. I think you got to put Lincoln Riley in there somewhere. Now, his resume is very brief. He's a young guy, but think about the output. He's getting to the playoffs, and he's putting quarterbacks in the NFL as the top pick. I think that counts on the resume. I don't think you just take that guy, you know, that's not – yeah, it is. That matters. That looks nice on the sheet. When you pull it up and you're reading through it and you're saying, what has he done? That looks pretty good. After that, I think you can mix and match them or put them anywhere you want. But where would you put Harbaugh now? Boy, it's Harbaugh slipping. Now, he can retake some real estate if he accomplishes things this year. I wouldn't put him there right now. Rob in the 210 knocking down another parlay. This is a five-teamer. It's a Major League Baseball five-teamer. I'm not going to call out the games, the teams, because what does it matter? It doesn't. He nailed it. Rob in the 210. We may have at Commitments, we may just do the cocktail party the night before in Rob's suite. The hell with the Bill King suite. Rob's got more swag. Which we're doing it in his place. Hawkeye Jason points out this morning, and again, like I mentioned, we're scattered. We're all over the place today. Bill, that meth gator thing was just a myth. The news down in, and what is Kezi 9? Is that KZ or? Anyways, well, that's actually out of Oregon, but he says the meth gator thing was a humorous illustration used to highlight the dangers of flushing drugs and other substances down your toilet. Alas, the meth gator is not real. I choose to believe it's real. Yeah, I'm going with it. I am absolutely going with it. I like the idea of a meth gator. To me, is funny, and I don't mean the actual Gators football team. No, I mean a literal animal, a gator, that's been exposed to meth through flushing. It's pretty funny. Apparently not true, but it's pretty funny. So we're sticking with it. We're going to perpetuate the hoax on the show, if you don't mind. Kind of like people do in politics. Yeah, it happens in politics now all the time. Whether it's the media or politicians, they take something, they say it, and they know a certain amount of people are going to believe it. So they go with it. That's what we're doing. We're copying that method here on the show. It'll work well. So Media Days is done, and we're getting close to camp. Now, let me remind you in camp, it still takes a little bit of time, and most everybody shuts down camp, meaning they don't let the media watch anything but stretching. So stats that you see from camp that teams put out and give to the media are rigged stats. Be careful with those. I wouldn't place a lot of emphasis on that. Used to be, years ago, media would have access to practice and they would probably get a little bit more accurate information about what's actually occurring. Nowadays, there's very little access at any camp, not just Nick Saban, but any camp, any August camp, late July, August camp is seldom covered where a reporter actually gets to see something. Because you got to remember now, the most paranoid people on the planet Earth are not, let's say, secret spies for some country. Let's say you're a spy for Russia, or you're a spy for the United States, or for China. Let's say you're a North Korean spy. You're not as paranoid as football coaches in the States. No. You'd have to upgrade to be as paranoid as football coaches are. They think everybody is spying on them. Everybody sees their practices. Everybody knows their plays. Everybody knows the cadence. Everybody knows what the audibles are. And they're prepared for whatever's going to happen next before it happens next. They're all very paranoid. More paranoid than anybody else on the planet Earth. So you're not going to get to see much if you are a reporter and you get to go to camp. You get to see a little stretching. Maybe you get to see the quarterback throwing it a little bit, tossing it around, like you really don't already know what the quarterback's capable of throwing. There's a big secret. But fall camp is not going to yield you a lot of information. You begin learning when you see the team actually play a game. When the scoreboard actually means something, when the scoreboard actually counts for something, that's when you will know what your team is all about. That's when you'll get a fair description, a fair reading on what your team has. Bottom of the hour, Gator Dave. He's moved up about 30 minutes this morning. We've got Charles Arbuckle coming up later in hour number two. And no Griff. Griff sent us a message last night, said, I am on vacation. I'm a no-go. I cannot go this week. Starting to get a pattern here with Griff. I don't know if he's fading on us or what. I sense that happening a little bit. We'll see. We'll see if I'm right or wrong about that. Southeastern Termite and Pest, 615-293-0722. Dial that number anytime. You have pest control needs, dial that number. The guys are going to be busy in East Nashville today. Bunch of stuff happening over on the other side, East Nashville, a booming part of town, East Nashville. 615-293-0722. Dial that up and let us know what the pest control issue is. We'll have the guys over there real quick. No worries about that at all. You're going to like the pricing. You're going to like the relations as well, customer relations. 615-293-0722. Let's get the break. Coming right back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. Traffic looks pretty good right now as you travel in through West Nashville on 40 eastbound here up by White Bridge Pike, leaving Ashland City right now, headed towards town. That's still in pretty good shape. Even coming through Bordeaux right now on Briley Parkway around County Hospital Road. We've watched that pick up quite a bit in the last few minutes. If you're moving soon, call Smashville Moving Company, 584-4954. Check them out online at smashvillemovingcompany.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Part of you won't be satisfied till you eat food that's hot and meaty. You want Penn Station East Coast subs, grilled steak and onions, baked bready goodness, and fresh cut fries. Answer your craving. Penn Station, hot meaty goodness.
Visit Penn Station East Coast subs in Hermitage and the two locations in Murfreesboro on Memorial Boulevard or Medical Center Parkway. For July, try any wrap, hot or cold, with chips and drink at the special price of only $6.99. Penn Station, hot meaty goodness.
I'm Eric Opron, Managing Director of the Omni Nashville Hotel. I want to personally invite you to experience the local flavor of Music City at our award-winning property. From our one-of-a-kind culinary outlet to the ultimate luxury of our full-service Mokara Spa, Omni Nashville offers something for everyone. Whether it's the biscuit bar in our Southern-inspired Kitchen Notes restaurant or our upscale honky-tonk bar lines, or if you prefer a romantic dinner, visit Bob's Steak and Chop House. Come on down and see us at 250 Fifth Avenue South, located in the heart of the Sobro District.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
This is the sound of a blizzard from the amazing DQ Summer Blizzard Menu with 7 flavors, like new Sour Patch Kids, which sounds like the first home run of summer. Yahoo! Your first cannonball. Yahoo! Or your first road trip to the Grand Canyon. Yahoo! That's what the DQ Summer Blizzard Menu really sounds like, with exciting flavors like new Sour Patch Kids and favorites like brownie dough. DQ, happy, tastes good. Yahoo! At participating locations.
Bowling Green, WWE Live presents the SummerSlam Heatwave Tour. Saturday night, August 3rd at EA Diddle Arena. In a double main event, you'll see Kofi Kingston as he defends the WWE Championship against Dolph Ziggler.
This should be me.
Then,
my schedule is wide open.
Roman Reigns faces Drew McIntyre, plus SmackDown Women's Champion Bayley, and more. Don't wait. Great seats are available now at the box office and Ticketmaster.
Bill King is the king of college football, and his sample size is large. Just ask him.
Nashville Hotel, bottom of the hour. We moved him up 30 minutes. He requested this, so we honored it. Gator Dave will be with us after the next break. Buck will be with us about an hour out, an hour or two. And no Griff. Griff sent me a text last night which said, Bill, I am on vacation. I am traveling. I cannot do the show tomorrow. We'll have to catch back up next week. So, no Griff. I was just looking. I had to go a million miles down my timeline on Twitter. Took me forever. And then I look up and Jeff 2's already reposted it. If I would have just been patient, I would not have had to have done this. It is the poll results from yesterday. We threw this up yesterday. I'll just be brief with you here on this. And here was the question Jeff threw up. I mentioned it, and then he put it in poll form for us. Since the SEC went to divisions, East and West, back in 1992, we're a quarter of a century out on that. I swear it feels like that was yesterday. I remember Roy Kramer walking out with, what was it, like a hog hat or something? He wasn't wearing it. But I remember the press conference and everything. Anyways, since the SEC went east-west, 1992 with expansion, what's more common? Alabama picked to win the SEC or Vanderbilt picked last? We got exactly, in Jeff 2's poll, 100 votes. It's amazing how that rounded off at exactly 100. It did. That's what it says right here. Vandy won. 73% who voted said Vanderbilt picked last would be more common than Alabama picked to win the actual SEC, 27%. I don't know if that's right, but that's the way it was voted. I don't know. Maybe it is right. Because, well, let's go back. From 92 forward, now in 92 they won the Natty. Didn't win the Natty again until 09. Alabama went, what would that be, 17 years over that span? Which really, in the bigger picture, that's not that long. Compared to many others. Again, Michigan and Tennessee right now are going on, what, 21 and 22 years. Georgia's going on close to 40 years. What would that be, 39 for Georgia? 1980? So you put that in perspective, that's not that long of a span. But back to... Is Alabama picked one more than Vanderbilt's pick last? After that, though, after 92, they had another good team or two. 94 team was pretty good, and then it faded. Until DuBose had that 99 season, which was good, and then it faded on him. Over that period of time, though, I'm thinking that Florida and Tennessee were picked. Meaning they're in the 90s more than Alabama would have been picked. Then, of course, you had the $10 million lap dance. You had Coach Fran. He was in there. You had Mike Shula. Lots of knucklehead stuff going on through there. And it didn't settle back down until Saban's second year, which was 08. In that span, you also had LSU winning a Natty in 03 with Nick Saban. And you had some really good Georgia teams in Mark Richt. Some of his best teams are right there through that span. And you had Urban Meyer coming in, now winning Natty's plural at Florida. Through that stretch, that might be right. Maybe Vanderbilt was picked last more than Alabama was picked number one because, again, that stretch through there until Nick got there, there was a lot of chaos. Not only that, but you had the Albert Means thing. You had everything. I got a message on Facebook the other day. Who was it? It was Lewis Katzerman, I believe, sent me a message. It was the other day, and it was the five-year date of the passing of the world's greatest bagman, Maury Adams. And we were talking back and forth about this. Lewis, I think, was at the hospital with him when he passed. And, again, Roy was the greatest bagman ever. Roy... If you want to think about it, not only was he the world's greatest bagman, but he was, you could claim, the one who brought Alabama down when it came to the Albert Means and that whole mess. That whole mess. Roy is the one from the beginning with the original information. And he and Logan Young, they hated each other. So it was always a war. Roy did not hate Alabama. I think he hated Logan Young. He didn't hate Alabama. He helped Dwayne Rudd. If he just blindly just hated a school, he wouldn't have done that. He helped players that went to all kinds of schools, although he was certainly a Tennessee fan. He had Dwayne Rudd. Remember Dwayne Rudd? Really good linebacker at Alabama. He had him call our show while he was driving him around and said, oh, and by the way, guys, it's Tennessee all the way. Obviously, it's not what happened, but... He and Deshae Townsend, they were teammates there in Mississippi, high school teammates. And Roy was driving him around everywhere, man. Roy took care of players at all different schools. Tennessee, Alabama, Ole Miss, Memphis, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Georgia. Absolutely. But yeah, you could claim that he is very responsible. Maybe the most responsible for the mess Alabama got in. Meaning spilling the beans on him. Because he was at war. Roy Adams and Logan Young would be like the 1980s and the Soviet Union versus the United States. That's basically, it was saber-rattling, threatening, scheming on the other one. It went on the whole time. But yeah, I got a message from him. And I did not realize that. Yeah, I did not realize that at all. Couple things here. You know what? I'm going to hold that. I just looked up. It's the 30 mark, and we need to get Gator Dave in here. We're going to get the bottom of the hour and bring Gator Dave up. He wanted to move it earlier today to facilitate his schedule, so we're doing it. Gator Dave, when we come back, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. Watching traffic volume increase quite a bit out here in the last 10, 15 minutes as we check it out live here on 65 southbound as you approach Trinity Lane. Traffic still on the increase now out here as we take a look at the traffic 65 up through Brentwood, Franklin, coming through Williamson County. The volume now has also increased quite a bit on 40 as you make your way eastbound through Kingston Springs and all the traffic coming in from Dixon County this time of the morning. Get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. Smart fares can save you up to 70% off. Call 1-800-915-2544.
Let me tell you about my good friend Kenneth. He has the site, which is soulstreetcoffee.com. 8 different blends, 16 teas on there, and he is the exclusive sponsor of Kevin Hagan every Wednesday at 7 o'clock talking Alabama football, Alabama sports. That's soulstreetcoffee.com. I need you to order now. It is a fantastic product. You will absolutely love it. That's soulstreetcoffee.com.
It may not require a textbook, but it's filled with valuable lessons. It may not take place in a classroom, but it's an ideal environment for learning. It may not involve a diploma, but it can help prepare Tennessee's young people for life. It's high school sports. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students that participate in high school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think again. Better yet, think about attending a high school sporting event in your community. You'll be amazed by what you see. High school sports. A winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor,
hey man,
the people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door. But as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
A, B, C. A always BBC closing. Always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
While working, he eats kale and pets a cat. Bill King is a multitasker.
Like I mentioned, Gator Dave with us in this slot here. Needed to get it a little earlier today, so we are gladly obliging. Gator Dave from his podcast, Gator Breakdown. Gator's Breakdown, you can get that. We'll let you know how you can get that podcast in case you've never heard it. Dave, how you been, sir?
Good, Bill. Thanks for fitting me in a little bit early this morning.
When looking back at SEC Media Days, now that you've had a couple of days to get away from it and digest a little bit more, anything that pops up for you? Here's a specific one. What are you seeing in South Carolina considering, and we were debating this a little bit on Twitter last night, considering their schedule?
I do think they will be a little better than what they were last year, Bill, but that schedule is murderer's row, I think, for what Will Muschamp has to go through, and it would be a better team. And ultimately, I don't know how much you can judge him on this season that's coming up just because the schedule is so hard. You're going to face the number one, number two, number three teams in the nation, much like Texas A&M is, but they're in the West. They have to play those schools. But, yeah, I pegged South Carolina fifth in the predicted order of finish last week just because of that. I think they're on par with Missouri and Kentucky there, but I had to peg them down a little bit just because of that schedule. And, you know, if they can win one of those, that's an accomplishment in and of itself. But then you'll still have to face Florida as well, more than likely a top-10 team. Texas A&M will be a borderline top-10 team as well. So South Carolina's schedules will be filled with, you know, maybe half of the top-10. So, or yeah, at least, you know, five of the top-15 teams there. So would Jake Bentley finally take that next big step here? That's probably the biggest question for them. He's done well, but they're still, I think, waiting for more. They're okay at putting up yards. They put a lot of yards up on Florida last year, but just didn't have the depth to kind of keep up with Florida, especially on the defensive side of the ball. There, Brian Edwards at receiver, I think, is a weapon, but they got to replace Deebo Samuel and his playmaking ability all around the field. So, I think their questions on offense are there. Can they finally run the ball? They don't get Jake Bentley doesn't get a lot of help from the running backs and the offensive line around him. And Will Muschamp, if we go dating back to his days at Florida, he wants to run the ball. He wants to run the ball and protect his quarterback, but he hasn't really been able to do that so far at South Carolina. So I think they got to get healthy on the defensive side of the ball. That's probably where they got hurt the most last year. They couldn't stay healthy. Their linebacking core should be pretty good. The secondary, they have a lot of talent. Will Muschamp can coach those guys up there. But Rashad Fenton, he had three interceptions all of last year. He's gone. J.C. Horn, great. He's kind of a rising star there at corner. I think somebody to look out for. But all in all, Bill, I think, you know, just that schedule is going to be way too much for South Carolina in the end.
West Coast Sooner, checking in from out in L.A., says, why would South Carolina hire Muschamp if they knew he couldn't win the league at Florida? Florida's the better job, and South Carolina hired somebody who proved he was incapable of winning the league. Let's go back and play, not necessarily revisionist, but what was the main downfall from Muschamp at Florida?
Not being able to settle on an offensive coordinator. He hired Charlie Weiss to begin with. Charlie Weiss leaves after one season, replaces him with Brent Peace from Boise State, and Brent Peace was not, had that good 2012 season. You thought they could build on that. And don't get me wrong, they had an injury-riddled preseason camp in 2013. I don't think I've ever seen a team with as many injuries as that 2013 Gator team had. But you still started the season. You had Driscoll coming off of that 2012 season, but you open up against Miami. You lose that game. Then against Tennessee, Jeff Driscoll goes down, and Tyler Murphy's your backup quarterback. And it all just kind of fell apart there. in the 2013 season. But then Brent Peace didn't get it done at offensive coordinator. Then you bring in Kurt Roper from Duke, who, you know, for all in all, did some good things. But, you know, that's looking like that's pretty much David Cutcliffe's offense, and you can kind of shove it off there at Duke. So he had some really good defenses. But he did have some bad luck with some injuries in the offensive line situation where some guys just had some health concerns and just never either played a down or just didn't play much at Florida. And, Bill, I just kind of go back. Florida's not the learn on the job type of job. I think a lot of pressure got to Muschamp. I liked him personally, but he just wasn't getting it done. He had that. You know, that really good 2012 year, almost a game. You know, Notre Dame loses to USC in the final week of the season there. Florida's probably got a good chance of sneaking into the BCS title game against the winner of Georgia and Alabama there. But you know, that 2012 season is really all you can point to. I just go back to not being able to settle on an offensive coordinator, not really adjusting the style, really wanting to play that ground and pound, taking the speed that you can get at the University of Florida and wanting to play in a phone booth. And that's not going to work at Florida. You got to use that speed. You got to spread it out a little bit, use that speed that you have. And then just the injuries also just kind of piled up. And so the offensive coordinator and injuries is really what did Will Muschamp in.
Yeah, I think of coordinator shuffling, like you mentioned. But other than Driscoll in 12, quarterback play wasn't very good the entire time.
It wasn't. And Tyler Murphy, I mean, he's still in the NFL right now, but he went on to Boston. He went on to Boston College and did some good things. But well, you know, he kind of played quarterback shuffle with that. And hey, Jacoby Brissett also is still in the NFL, so he had quarterbacks. But like I said, just going back and he just didn't necessarily. I mean, Jeff Driscoll goes off in Louisiana Tech and does good things. He's in the NFL. Jacoby Brissett's in the NFL. Tyler Murphy's in the NFL. So the quarterbacks were there. I just don't think he, like, as I said, him and the offensive coordinators, he wanted to run the wrong kind of style of offense, and the offensive line shuffling just necessarily didn't do him any favors.
Whoever would have gotten that job, Muschamp got it, but considering they're coming in behind Urban Meyer, and Urban's last year wasn't all that good, but Urban's overall resume was sparkling there. A couple of natties in the 09 team. I say it ad nauseum on the show. The 09 team was plenty good enough to win it, too.
Yep.
Had some incredible teams. Whoever comes in behind Urban Meyer back then, wouldn't that have been tough for most any coach, or do you think it was there for somebody to really succeed?
Bill, can we play revisionist history and bring it to current Florida? What if they would have hired Dan Mullen after Urban? What if they would have went to Mississippi State? You know, after a couple seasons there, you got Jeff Driscoll, who would to me would have been tailor made Dan Mullen offense.
Yeah.
And you got the continuity there. He would know some of the talent that was already on the roster. Similar system, or you know, almost the exact same system that you ran for winning national championships at Florida. You then in 2010 or 2011 it would have been, you know, Mullen's first year. He would have had some SEC experience for a couple years at Mississippi State. They gave Will Muschamp a job. I don't know why, you know, with Dan Mullen being a couple of seasons at Mississippi State, why he probably shouldn't have been considered more for that job. So I don't know if, you know, Jeremy Foley and Mullen were on the best of terms at the time, but I think if we can play revisionist history, that probably should have been the hire Florida went with back in 2011.
Things would pretty much be, well, and I think they're stabilized now as well, that he's there, he's back now, but maybe not as choppy through those years leading up to today, correct?
I think so. I mean, Dan Mullen brought stability, turned around Mississippi State in those short two seasons, kind of going along that same timeline there, 2009, 2010, 2011. But 2009, 2010, Dan Mullen improved that Mississippi State program from year one to year two. So, I mean, I know they probably would have a lot more experience, but you just went and hired a guy who didn't have any experience. It was the coach in waiting at Texas. So, if you'd have hired somebody like Dan Mullen, who was familiar with the program, familiar with the expectations of the Florida fan base, because that was part of it too. I think is, you know, dealing with the expectations at the University of Florida. It did Will Muschamp in, it did Jim McElwain in, and Dan Mullen kind of just knew what to expect. And I think, as I go back, I think it would have been tailor-made, a perfect offense for Jeff Driskel, and being able to run. I don't think Will Muschamp ran Jeff Driskel enough when he was here. We kind of always harp back, why does it, you know, they use kind of the offense that he was brought in for when Urban was still here at Florida, that Jeff Driskel and Dan Mullen would have probably been a match made in heaven for Gator fans.
Yeah, I remember running into Dan in Birmingham, and he was laughing. He said he and his wife were listening. And back then, the Miami job, one of the many times it's opened up, was open, and we were speculating on him about that. And he said they got a good giggle out of it. I don't know. I don't know if they got close to it or not, but – anyways.
I heard they did. He might would have been the guy if Mark Richt wouldn't have got fired from Georgia.
Right.
That may have lined up at that time. But, you know, of course, Miami wasn't going to go away from Richt once he was available and being an alum and his coaching resume.
Tell everybody about Gators Breakdown, the podcast.
You can get Gators Breakdown on news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown. Catch the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, all that good stuff, YouTube as well. And just taking a look back at Florida being pegged second in the SEC East behind Georgia and kind of the expectations, you know, of best case, worst case scenario for the Gators just for the season coming up.
Good stuff, my friend.
Thanks, Bill.
There is Gator Dave joining us. That brings me to this question. Because West Coast Sooner says, why would South Carolina make that hire? Which I think is a good question, a fair question. Why would Arizona, the NFL, hire Cliff Kingsbury, who just got fired in Lubbock, Texas? It's tough to know what the answers are here. Here's a good question, though. On that topic, who is, or give me an example of coaches who got run, and I don't mean NFL Bill Belichick, that's the best example ever, got fired in Cleveland, turns out he's probably the best coach ever in the NFL. But is there a college example like that, where a guy has a head coaching job, gets fired, turns out he's just a hell of a coach? Whatever happened at the other place where he got fired does not represent the truth. He's just been a tremendous coach. That list is pretty limited on the college level, right? Who am I leaving out that's so glaring? And again, it's got to be a guy who was somewhere and it was deemed a failure. He gets run. If you take the main guys today that hadn't happened, Saban, Dabo Sweeney, Chris Peterson, Harbaugh's everywhere along the way has been really good as a head coach. At Michigan, he's not achieving what most thought that he would be. Can't throw Harbaugh. He hadn't been fired anywhere as the head coach. Has he? Talking about along the way here, college jobs. Who else? Who am I skipping out on here? Oh, this is one. Coach Marshall. My favorite God's gift to coaching. Cut. That's a really good one. Cut got run at Ole Miss. They did not like him. No. Cut is a... He's done a good job at Duke. We know that. He's an acquired taste, though. Cut is moody. And I remember talking to a parent. I'm going to leave this anonymous, but a very famous name. Not a Manning. I'll give you that hint. It's not a Manning. A parent. Right when the Cutcliffe thing, I remember where I was at. I was at Costco getting gas. And I was talking to an Ole Miss parent. And I said, what happened with Cutcliffe? And this parent says, Bill, this is a well-known person, I'm just telling you, said the people here did not like him. He was a jerk. The players didn't like him much. Now, the Mannings did. The Mannings do, okay. But other than the Mannings, the chosen family, the Mannings, he was not liked. The administration, the people, it was a disconnect. It was not good. And we wanted that jerk out of here. Yeah, good one, Coach Marshall. That is a fantastic one. It might have taken me a day to come up with God's gift to football. Once again, I get bailed out by the audience. Good stuff. Anyways, we'll get into that. We've got plenty to talk about. Bottom of the second hour. Buck will be with us, Charles R. Buckle. No Griff today. Griff sent me a message last night which said, on vacation, I'm traveling, I cannot do the show. We'll have to get back next week. So no Griff today. Coming right back. We'll get one more break here. Hour number one, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. We're looking live at this heavy traffic here developing on 24 westbound as you make your way up past Harding Place. All that traffic coming in from Rutherford County. But at least it's moving. Let's keep it that way. It's starting to bog down at times as they tap the brakes here on 65 southbound approaching Trinity Lane. Traffic's really on the increase on Vietnam Vets as you make your way through Hendersonville. Hey, it's better to know them than not knowing. I'm talking about Free at Last Bell Bonds. You can call them if you ever need them at 615-242-FREE. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
This is Brett Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The Atlanta Braves starting Dallas Keuchel tonight, going up against the Kansas City Royals, who will counter with Danny Duffy. The Braves -210 on the money line, while the Royals are +185. Run total over under is 9, the under at -105, over at -115. Run line, Royals getting a run and a half at -105. Atlanta -1.5 at -115. NFL, the Tennessee Titans are a 6-1 favorite to win the AFC South. They were a 6-1 favorite to open up back in March. The Titans were a 60-1 favorite back in January to win the Super Bowl and are now 100-1. For the latest lines and scores, visit VSIN.com. I'm Tony Desiri, Nashville Sports Radio.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
The 2020 Nissan Rogue helps protect you from threats in every direction. Like Nat over here in your blind spot, picking the perfect emoji. Or Al here, who doesn't see you backing up, because he's telling Erica, "Hey, Erica, yeah, this is your driver. Yeah, where are you? Yeah, I followed the GPS. Yeah, where are you?" This is protection in a world of distraction. This is Nissan Intelligent Mobility. Dramatization, do not attempt. Blind spot warning cannot prevent collisions and may not detect every object or warn in all situations. Drivers should always turn and look before changing lanes. Rear cross traffic alert may not detect all vehicles. See owner's manual for safety information.
I can't believe it.
That Gerald is presenting the quarterly budget report with finger puppets.
Look, here comes a 1.7% decrease in fixed overhead. Hello, everybody.
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
Who are you? The projected increase in organic Q3 revenue. Hooray!
Believe it. Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. A chance of showers for this morning, then partly sunny with a high of 83. Clear overnight with a low of 62. Sunny on Wednesday with a high of 84. Clear overnight and Thursday sunny with a high of 87. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Lori.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Hashtag fat side up, tweet to Bill at Bill is King to enter the arena of ideas.
Omni Nashville Hotel. 615-844-5600 if you'd like to check in. Twitter at Bill is King. Email the show, BillisKing7@gmail.com. Tomorrow, Kevin Hagan will be with us. That's presented by Soul Street Coffee, soulstreetcoffee.com. Many variations on the coffee brands, the different flavors, I should say, and they're all delicious. More on the way. That includes tea, delicious tea. So check that out. Check the site out. SoulStreetCoffee.com, and that is where you order the most delicious coffee and tea. That site, SoulStreetCoffee.com. Also on Wednesday, Josh Newberg will be with us. What we were just talking about, coaches in college who got run, got unhired, but after that, went on to be a head coach and did very well. That was not an accurate predictor of the future. Coach Marshall brought up Cut. Very good one with Cut. Got to remember, the year before he got fired, Cut and Eli Manning won 10 games. And they were very close to winning the Western Division. Played LSU in a very tight ball game. Very close game. Cut's resume there wasn't all negative. There were some really historical high points. I do believe, I'd have to go back and look. I think back then, when they won double-digit games, they had not won double-digit games since Johnny Vaught, which takes you back to the 60s, somewhere in there. Again, somebody bean count me there, but I believe that was the case. Did Billy Brewer ever get to double digits with that Cassius Ware, Dwayne Dotson, Tim Bowens team? I don't think so. I could be. There may be. That might be a little hitch in the stat. But it had been a long stretch. And Cut took them to heights that one year that they had not reached in a long time. And literally a year later, they wanted him out of there. Knowing what he had done, they did not like him. He has done a good job since. Got to remember, Cut after that took a job at Notre Dame for Charlie Weiss. Moved up to South Bend, had some health issues, never coached there. Moved back to Knoxville, to Rocky Top. He's from Birmingham. Moved back to Rocky Top where he'd been and recovered medically and joined Philip Fulmer. Randy Sanders had fallen on the sword, and that opening facilitated Cut's return to Tennessee. Hawkeye Jason said, Bill, Hayden Fry got unhired by SMU back in 72. He couldn't get along with the SMU boosters wanting to start a slush fund to get better talent. He said, we saw how that story ended later at SMU. Yep, they finally got that slush fund going. It was a spigot flowing is what it was. Bobby Bowden didn't get fired at West Virginia, but they did hang him in effigy. But he was there. He escaped there to take the job at Florida State. But it was not love when he was there. He talks about it. Gator Dave brought this up, and Jeff, too, is too. He says, another Ole Miss example could be Coach O. He was 10-25 at Ole Miss, deemed a failure since being fired in Oxford. Coach O went 6-2 at Southern Cal as the interim. They would not let him keep it. And he's currently 25-9 at LSU. That is another good example. There are not many of them. That is a limited list right there. Jim in Jupiter, I think he's back from the Keys. I think he is. Says, Bill, maybe not a head coach, but the Clawfence has done better at Wake Forest than I thought he would. And he got run with Fulmer. Yeah, he did. When Fulmer got run, they all got run. He's done a good job there. You are correct. The Clawfence has been pretty good. Anyways, we'll continue on. Hour 2 coming up. Omni.